1 Kings chapter 5. I am reading from the New King James Version. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he had heard that they had anointed him king in the place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name. Verse 13. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoraim was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens, 80,000 who quarried stone in the mountains, besides 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, and hewn stones to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gebalites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. Again, I call your attention to verse 17. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, hewn stones to lay the foundation of the temple. On Thursday afternoon, in the city of New York, a 49-year-old woman was pinned for 6 hours underneath a 50-ton crane. The crane toppled over because the crane was attempting to lift and hoist a load that was too heavy for the base of the crane to stabilize and handle safely. How important it is to have a strong base. How important it is to have a firm foundation. If you don't believe that, ask Bonanno Paisano. Bonanno Paisano, in the year 1173, decided to construct a tower in the Italian town of Pisa. The foundation which he laid for the tower was inadequate, was unsure, and so in that year, 1173, Bonanno Paisano started what is the first and longest running Italian joke, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. All because of an inadequate foundation. It is important that we have a strong base, a solid foundation. Now, Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived, and here he is undertaking one of the greatest projects ever attempted. He is about to build a temple unto the Lord. And he begins that project by sending workers to quarry out stones, large stones, hewn stones, costly stones, that would be used in the foundation of that temple. It is always wise to begin at the base. And Solomon begins this building project by making a splendidly strong foundation. Now, as I read this, it caught my attention, for I understand that the stones would need to be large and would need to be hewn. But costly stones? Who of us in building a house would take costly stones and make a foundation from expensive, costly material? We have a tendency to think out of sight, out of mind. If it doesn't show, it doesn't matter. But you know, Solomon knew the Lord. And the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 that all things are open and exposed to him with whom we deal. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Nothing is hidden from his gaze. And Solomon, in undertaking this project for the glory of God, used costly stones. It was for the Lord. Although men wouldn't notice it, he knew the Lord would be pleased by it. In verse 17, it says, "And the king commanded them to quarry large stones." The king commanded, and the workers commenced. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. There was no argumentation. The king commanded, the workers commenced. Gang, that's the way it's always to be. When the king speaks, then we're to obey. I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think of that special lady who had such a wonderful relationship, an understanding of God. During the time when she was at a marriage feast in Cana, she told Jesus, "Jesus, they're out of wine." And then she went to the servants and said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." The same word applies to us today. Whatever he says, let's do it. Whatever the king commands, let's get going on. And here, the king commanded, and the work began. The foundation, costly stones, huge stones, hewn stones. You say, "Well, John, what do these stones speak of? What is the meaning of this for us today?" It must be understood that everything in the Old Testament is a material picture of New Testament spiritual truth. The temple being constructed by Solomon was not simply a place for the Old Testament people to worship the Lord, but it is also a picture of the New Testament people, us, being built by the Lord. As we study the temple, that needs to be kept in mind. It is a picture of us being built by the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. The Apostle Paul, in a number of places, picks up on this metaphor, the temple, and tells us that we are the temple of God. Now listen carefully. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. We are the temple of God, being built for the glory and pleasure of God. And we are being built on a foundation, a huge foundation, a hewn foundation, a costly foundation. Here the Apostle Paul tells us the three things that make up the foundation that we are being built. And this is where it all begins. This is foundational understanding, essential truth. Gang, if you miss this, your entire walk is going to be vulnerable to instability and insecurity. Paul says, we are a foundation being built in verse 20 on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. First, the foundation of the temple is solid schooling. Mark it. It is solid schooling. It is sound doctrine. We are being built as the temple of the true and living God on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The book that you have open before you gives you the illumination and inspiration of the apostles. The book that you have before you gives you the proclamation and understanding of the prophets. We are to be built upon the illumination of the apostles and the proclamation of the prophets. And it is all found in this book. As I study the Word of God, I find myself being built upon the foundation of the apostles, the foundation of the prophets. And it provides strength and stability for my Christian experience. Solomon had no worries when thousands of people came into the temple to radically worship the Lord or fervently pray to the Lord. He never worried that the building was going to collapse, for he knew the foundation was strong. He knew the foundation was secure. They were huge stones, costly stones, hewn out stones. And he could know confidently that the intensity of worship, the intensity of prayer, would not cause a shaking in the temple. We didn't have that luxury meeting up at the old fellowship hall, the old Western Auto building. I don't know if you are aware of this, but one of the reasons we had to move is because the floor was sinking. And down below us were all of our kids. And it was a great concern to us that were in leadership positions, knowing that that floor was collapsing under the weight of the people that were gathering together. I would often say to Jeff, "Jeff, don't stomp your feet. Don't jump up and down. Keep it mellow. We don't want to go crashing down." Praise be to the Lord, we're out of there. We're seeing a building constructed that will adequately hold however many people the Lord should bring in, at least in shifts. Solomon never worried about the intensity, about the frequency, about the fervency, because underneath it there was a solid, strong, costly foundation. I too, in looking at the temple of the true and living God, that is the people of God, can feel comfortable in and confident of intensity and fervency in worship and praise and prayer, as long as underneath it there is a solid, strong foundation. And that is solid doctrine. And it is costly to become familiar with the Word of God. It will cost you something to become strong in the Word and solid in your schooling. It will cost you time. It will cost you energy. It will cause perspiration in order for you to receive inspiration from the Word. But a fellowship that is built solidly on strong, exegetical, expositional teaching and instruction can move into worship fervently and can move into praise with intensity and not worry about it going off the wall. But a fellowship or a believer who does not make the effort or pay the price to lay a solid doctrinal foundation, that is the illumination of the apostles and the proclamation of the prophets, they will be vulnerable to going off the wall at several points in their Christian experience, thinking all the time they're exercising spirituality, when in reality it's nothing more than carnality. We must be those who pay the price. There was a lovely shade tree. It was shapely. It was beautiful. Growing on the hillside, when one day it was growing, enjoying its situation and surroundings, the clouds overhead grew dark. You can relate to that. And the wind began to blow. And the shade tree was shook up, rocking back and forth, creaking and groaning under the intense pressures of the winds. It survived the storm. And when the storm passed, the shade tree wisely reasoned to itself, saying, "I've got to become stronger. I've got to ready myself in the event another storm should occur." And so the shade tree began to branch out. More branches, extending itself, producing more leaves. It looked even more beautiful. It was larger, greener. But then, no sooner had it begun to branch out, extend itself, the winds blew once again, this time harder than before. And the little tree began to creak and groan as the winds blew against it. And suddenly it felt itself being pushed right over. It was headed for a terrible, horrible crash when it lodged against a neighboring oak tree. It was saved from crashing entirely. It was lodged against an oak tree. When the storm passed, the little shade tree that was now lodged and leaned over and resting against the oak tree said, "How in the world did you survive that storm? How were you strong enough to survive and strong enough to support me when I was falling?" And the oak tree looked at the shade tree and said, "You know, while you were branching out, I was digging in. While you were spreading your leaves above the surface for everyone to see, I was digging in below the surface where real strength is found." Are you a shade tree? Or are you an oak tree? putting your roots deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Understanding and tackling the doctrines that are written in these pages. Or do you say, oh, that's dry. That's costly. That's hard work. Man, I want to fly and I want to float and I want to buzz. I want to branch out. Hey, listen. Before you branch out, dig down deep. And then when your root system is strong in the Word of God, you will then be able to be effective for the work of God in your life. Dig down deep. Daily study the Word. Take the time that's necessary to come to Bible studies, be they here or other places, where the Word of God is being taught systematically. Come into an understanding of the great doctrines of justification, of sanctification, of redemption. Come into the understandings of election and sovereignty, of inspiration and security. As you grow in the knowledge of God, you will be safe. Turn with me, if you will, keeping a finger in Ephesians and also one in 1 Kings, to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 declares, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Would you take note of that? Rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you have been taught. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are no shortcuts, gang. For you personally or for us as a church corporately. As you have been taught, rooted and grounded in the knowledge of Him. And then turn over, if you will, to the epistle written to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, "I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word." Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. That means take the opportunity or make the opportunity. Sometimes it's right before you. It's seasonable. Go for it. Other times it's difficult. Make it happen. Preach the Word in season, out of season. "Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." The word "endure" there is the same word from which we get our word endurance, applying to the marathon race that runners used to take on. No longer having endurance, it's too long, it's too hard, it's too tedious, it's too painful. Sound doctrine is too difficult. We don't have the endurance for sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul is saying the time is coming when people will no longer have ears to hear sound doctrine or a desire to dig into doctrine. They will be busy with other things, other priorities. Even in the spiritual arena, interests in other areas, they'll no longer endure sound doctrine. It is not easy being a student of the Word. But it is that basis which will produce endurance and stability in your life. Dig in. Hang in there, gang, daily. Read the Word. study the Word. Become familiar with the Word. It was J.D. Rockefeller who said, "The secret of success is to do the common things uncommonly well." I like that. The secret of success is to do the common things uncommonly well. Dear people, do you know who's really successful in Christian ministry, in Christian walk? It is the one who does the common things, that is, studying the Word uncommonly well. Daily digging in. It is not the comet that shoots across the sky with all of the fireworks and bravado, but rather the steadfast star who continues to shine. And that's what God wants me to be and wants you to be. Daily digging in. He goes on to say, the time will come that people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They'll select teachers that satisfy an itching in their ears. Now, in the days that Paul was writing to Timothy, there was a group of men known as sophists. The sophists were self-proclaimed wise men that went from place to place offering to teach people for a fee. Isocrates, a philosopher of the day, said concerning the sophists that they, quote, attract people by low fees and by big promises. We still have sophists on the scene today who attract people with low fees and big promises. But it's unstable. It's unsure. It might be exciting, it might be fun, it might be titillating or stimulating, but it will not produce stability over the long haul. And Paul says, beware. He says, you, verse 5, be watchful. The Greek word for watchful is nephin, which simply means you be steady. Nephin is translated either watchful or steady in various places in the New Testament. You be steady. A person who is easily moved by every wind of doctrine or latest spiritual fad will become really unfruitful. In my backyard, I have a prune tree. Now, my kids hate prunes. They can't stand them. But they don't have to worry because this prune tree never bears fruit. And the reason that it never bears fruit is because over a 2-year period, I transplanted that tree 4 times. And because I kept transplanting it in different soils, in different spots, it never took root and is not productive to this day. Has lots of leaves and branches, but no fruit whatsoever. And so too I have seen in the Christian arena, Christians being transplanted from doctrines and emphases from one thing to another, moving around and never really bearing fruit. Lots of leaves and lots of fluff, but no stability, no endurance. And I believe the Lord would have us to dig our roots deeply, individually, saying we're committed to studying and standing on the Word of God. Others can go with the latest thing, but we will be those who build solidly, even though it is costly, the large hewn stones of the Word of God. Secondly, back to Ephesians. Not only does the Word of God tell us that the household of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, is being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but also, secondly, on the foundation, verse 20, of Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. First, sound schooling. Second, a suffering Savior. Jesus Christ. In other places, the apostle tells us that he is the chief cornerstone who was rejected, not embraced, not acknowledged. But we have come into an understanding that it is Jesus Christ himself who is the solid rock on which we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's Jesus. You see, it's not just doctrine, but it's a person. Jesus Christ himself. And as I study the word, I do not seek to gain simply an intellectual apprehension or appreciation, but rather a mystical touch with the living Lord. The written word leads me into contact with the living word, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says concerning this Jesus upon whom we are built, our solid rock, our foundation, that he himself was slain before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Jesus, the Lord who loves you, the Lord who created you, that Jesus was slain for you before the foundation of the world. Before this world was ever spoken into existence, our Lord was suffering in some way, in some capacity, for me and the sins which I have done, for you and the sins which you have committed. Jesus died for you. Somehow, in God's economy, in the context of time, space, and eternity, somehow, he was slain before the foundation of the world. And somehow, the suffering of Jesus Christ goes on in capacities that we don't understand. The prophet Isaiah gives us a hint at it when it says, we shall see him and shall not desire him. There is something in Isaiah 52 and 53, check it out, study it through, that talks about the fact that when we see our Lord, we are going to be amazed and blown away. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of Jesus Christ in the heavenly scene as being a lamb in the midst of the elders that has been slain. Jesus. He loves me. That he was willing to go to hell in my place and suffer in a way that I don't understand. He loves me so much. And man, I stand on the love of Jesus Christ. That is foundational. Just him. Did you know the Lord loves you so very much today? Just the way you are. Right where you're at. For the Bible says that God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When did Jesus die for you? Not when you were coming to church and studying the word and witnessing and working. He died for you when you were a total jerk. Completely rebellious against him. Ignoring him. Cursing him. Squandering your life, hurting other people, botching it, blowing it. That's when the Lord looked at you and said, oh, far out, I love you, and I choose you, and I elect you, and now I'm going to begin changing you. Listen, friend, if the Lord loved you when you were a sinner, please rest in the fact and be assured of the fact that he loves you today, now that you are desiring to walk with him. You're not perfect, I know that. I'm not perfect, and you know that. But we gather around one who is perfect and is perfect in his love towards us. It is unconditional. The Lord would embrace each one of you today where you're sitting and whisper in your ear, I love you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Peace give I to you, not as the world gives, which is conditional, always changing, but my peace I give to you. Oh, friend, the Lord loves you, and He proved it as He died on the cross for you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I am built upon that premise. Others can challenge me, others can accuse me, others can seek to shake me, but I stand upon the person of Jesus Christ. That is my foundation, the suffering Savior. And it's yours as well. Thirdly, not only are we built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that is, sound schooling, upon Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, that is, the suffering Savior. But thirdly, verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God. Thirdly, this foundation consists of the body of Christ, and I want to say here, to continue the alliteration, squirming saints. Squirming saints, we are being fit together, joined together, verse 21, and we are growing. Wait, what kind of a foundation grows, you say? What kind of stones expand? Only one kind of stone grows, and that's what Peter in his epistle, chapter 2, says we are: living stones. We're living stones. And we are being built together in this foundation and growing from that foundation into a temple for the true and living Lord. You are a living, squirming stone. And this explains why we have the difficulties that we do, the problems which we have with each other. It says we're being fit together, being joined together. We are growing into a holy temple. Now turn with me back to 1 Kings, and this time go to chapter 6. And I want to show you how this foundation was formed. Verse 7 of 1 Kings 6. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Interesting. These huge, hewn, costly stones were all chipped and carved and fit together in the quarry, so when they were hauled down to the side of the temple, they fit perfectly. And yet there was no chiseling, no chipping at that point. It was done silently. What a trip that must have been. To watch this building being built, and never was the chipping or chiseling sound heard. It was all done in the quarry or in the pit. This world is the pits. It's the rock pit. It's the quarry ground. This is the place where we as living stones are being chiseled and banged on and rubbed against and squealing and screaming and screeching. Why? So that when we get to heaven, when God says, okay, it's time to get this building together, come on, pieces, we're going home, boom, we're hauled up, and there'll be no more chiseling. Amen. All right. No more chipping. No more pounding. No more hammering. No more grading. This is the pits, gang. This is the quarry. And we're being fit together here, living stones. Sometimes, do you ever think, you know, I just don't want to deal with people? Lord, I love you. Sometimes I have thought, I wonder what it would be like to have a church, a fellowship, where you didn't have to deal with people, where the teaching would be done with one of those holograms, a computerized image of somebody who's not there. It could be done all by computer, and so it's three-dimensional. You have a person up front that seems as though they're there, but it's not really there. And that way you would never have to deal with interaction or reaction. And then the people themselves could say, well, I don't want to deal with the folks sitting next to me either. So they would bring their cassette recorders, and everybody would just have a cassette recorder sitting in their place. You wouldn't be here. You just have your cassette recorder. There'd be a hologram up front, and it would all be taped, you see, and you'd never have to touch anybody. You could just come at your own convenience sometime during the week and pick up your cassette recorder or videotape or whatever and go in the privacy of your own closet and look and listen and be taught and fed. And you could put in a praise tape of music so you wouldn't have to really be involved in singing or being exhorted to sing louder. You could just listen to others sing, and it'd be great. You could just kick back. That sometimes sounds appealing to me. Just kick back and let it all happen without any interaction. But you know it doesn't work. I mean, how would we take the offering? Seriously, it doesn't work. Because you see, the Lord is fitting us together. And that means that I am going to be rubbed against certain people that I would rather not be rubbed against, and challenged by certain people that I'd rather not be challenged by. But God has said, Johnny, they are the living stones that are next to you, and you better just hang in there because they're my instruments to work on you. And some people would say, boy, I'd rather not see John Corson or deal with John Corson. It's tough bananas. Because I am in their lives as well as a living stone. And we squirm against each other and rub against each other and squeal. But you know what? The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him. If you love the Lord, nothing or no one can come into your life unless they first go through the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Nothing or no one can touch you unless the Lord has allowed it. Why would he allow it? Because he's saying, I'm shaping you up. I'm quarrying you out. I'm chiseling on you, pounding on you, preparing you for what you're going to be throughout eternity. I'm building a temple for my habitation, the Lord says. And I got to pound on you for a while. It's foundational. Living stones. Maybe you say, man, I wish I wasn't married to my husband. I wish I wasn't married to my wife. Listen, that blockhead sitting next to you is the living stone which God has ordained for you, saying that is the exact person that will chip on you, pound on you, stretch you, allow you to be the person that I want you to be. Don't fight it. Flow and say, thank you, Lord. I accept that. If that's who you want me linked to, If that's the boss you want me to work under, okay. If that is the situation you want me to be stretched in, all right. Lord, I submit to it, for I know I'm being prepared. Foundations, threefold, the Apostle Paul says. Solid schooling. Keep in the Word of God, dear precious people. I'm not recruiting people for Bible study. I don't care where you go as long as you go somewhere and are being taught the Word of God systematically and consistently. Whether it's First Baptist or Rouge Community or the Nazarene Church, it doesn't matter to me so much where you go as long as you do go and commit yourself to being taught the solid doctrines of the Word. It's important. Or you'll be blown out at some point. You'll be a comet lighting up the sky and then disappearing off the scene. Be a student. Secondly, the foundation of the suffering Savior, Jesus Himself, who loves you, who died for you, who's available right now to embrace you if you'll just say, "Thank you, Lord." And thirdly, squirming saints, living stones, being fit together. Thank the Lord for one another. Love on each other. Receive from one another, knowing that God is building you. And ultimately, you'll look to that person and say, "Thank you. That was really brutal, but thank you. I needed that." May the Lord make you solid below the surface. May your foundations be firm where the eyes of people do not notice. May you be strong and rooted in the knowledge of Him, that as the years go by, you might be steadfast in your knowledge of God and in your love for the Lord. And this I pray in Jesus' name.